Tonight on Hops and Box Office Flops.
How old are you? I mean, really, like, you are old now, aren't you?
For a Pilsner, yes. For a stout, even more so. For an IPA, I have not even begun in years. For bourbon barrel ale, I am just right.
Hops and Box Office Flops. A place where we can celebrate the underdog films, the bombs, the disasters, the much maligned movies that have drowned in their infamy. So please sit back, grab a beer, and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back. This is our 236th episode of Hops and Box Office Flops. We are the internet's premier podcast for bad movies and mostly good beer. Tonight, we continue our look at flops with a taste for adventure, with a film whose grand ambitions were dashed after just one entry, sort of like Sahara. With Remo Williams, the adventure begins. I am your host and the master of Sinanju, the Thunderous Wizard, and along with me for this tale of espionage and adventure are the man who eats terror for breakfast, pressure for lunch, and aggravation for sleep, Chumzilla.
Yeah, fear the stash, baby. Fear the stash.
And we also have the man who moves like a baboon with two club feet, Blake Blake.
Monosodium glutamate. You can't even say it.
But I can eat it.
That's Indeed, you can.
not how the line goes, Chumpy.
Hey man, I am not in the MSG causes headaches camp. That's just good flavoring.
Good old-fashioned American ingenuity.
You know, Chumpy, you're a real pain in the ass, and that's just because it's the shortest route to your brain.
Very true.
Fair, very
Captain
fair.
Cash would be here tonight, but he's busy dressing as a Korean sensei of sorts, a Korean master of the martial arts who is training somebody else dressed as Fred Ward from this movie.
That checks out.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Insensitive, sure, but sure to be a hit on his Instagram. Points of order, you can find the show on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and Twitter at Hops and BO Flops. Remo Williams is free to stream on Amazon Prime. I own this
It
on
was
DVD.
on Tubi, but it's not anymore, oddly enough.
We're giving back those Tubi bucks.
Yeah,
Yeah, fuck you,
Tubi.
Tubi.
This is the exact kind of movie you're supposed to have. So I
Yep.
bought this at the Oxford Walmart late one night because I had seen this
Oh
movie
no.
when I was
What
a
is wrong
kid,
with you?
and I remember
You
the
like you mean the Oxford, Ohio Walmart. You're dead serious here.
No, he wasn't in Oxford, England
Dead
buying
serious.
Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Same cover, him doing like the like fist that he's about to rip your eye out.
The Shianju eye poke technique.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, and by the way, they clearly Kill Bill stole that, right?
Right. 5-finger
100%.
death punch.
Not to mention Kill Bill, which we'll talk about later because I have a question about how inadvertently racist this film is. But when I first
I
saw
don't
this
think
when I was a kid, I did not know that the man playing Chun, the Korean teacher of Remo Williams, was not actually Korean. And boy,
Oh, it's Fisher
oh boy,
Stevens.
it's not Fisher Stevens.
Oh, never
Number
mind then.
Johnny Five. Yeah,
He,
no.
you know, he really regrets that. He has said
He
it over and
does.
over. He really regrets that.
He came out and said, "Hey, if they ever remake this movie, definitely hire an Indian guy, not me."
Yeah, I don't think this guy would take this role now either. But before we get there, let's talk beer. Tonight we're drinking Pizza Port's Backyard Explorer IPA. It comes in at a Captain Cash approved 7.0 ABV. It's a
Nice.
West Coast style IPA featuring Simcoe, Motueka, HBC, 5-6 Citra, and all kinds of other hops. And it's got a lot of hints of citrus and tropical fruit notes. I love most of Pizza Port's beers, so if you are on the West Coast or in adjacent area, check it out. It was a good one. And
I'm
of
not gonna
course,
lie to you. That sounds delicious.
it was really good. It was a good IPA. Yeah. And I would say I'd sit through three bad movies while drinking it, including this one, Remo Williams, which was directed by Guy Hamilton, who you would think is sort of the perfect pick for this film because he directed several Bond movies, including Goldfinger, Live and Let Die, The Man with the Golden Gun, and Diamonds Are Forever.
Wow.
He also did a low-key, lesser-known favorite of mine, Force 10 from Navarone, which stars the great Carl Weathers and a very young Harrison Ford.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And those are great Bond movies, too.
Yeah, honestly, there's very few Bond movies I don't enjoy, and I get why they call Remo Williams the blue-collar James Bond, but a lot of what doesn't work about this movie is that it takes the corniness of even 70s-era Bond and, like, inserts it with an insane amount of human growth hormone. This movie is, like, really too dumb to be entertaining.
And, you know, I don't know the last time you watched it, but you spoke of this so highly that I was excited to finally watch Remo Williams. Obviously, I'd heard of it. I've heard tell of this legendary movie, but boy, was it wildly disappointing. This movie sucks.
It'd been over 20 years, Blake, and I got to tell you, I didn't enjoy this revisit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say this. I was expecting some kind of like cross between Walking Tall and like Death Wish. And it was not that. It underwhelmed.
I texted you halfway in, a quarter of the way in, and I was like, is this supposed to be a comedy? Because it feels like a parody.
The action feels very slapsticky. It's like you're waiting for the laugh track to kick in, but it's not there.
I feel like, you know, I haven't read any of the novels that inspired it. We'll talk about those in a minute, but
yes.
Novel is a very loosely defined here.
The source material is not very strong. And then when you watch this movie, so much of what happens is like not even really, like he kind of encounters the bad guys by accident and then they're after them by accident. And then he has to kill them because it was his fault they were discovered. It's like, it just doesn't work.
I mean,
yeah, it's just kind of like action scene to get through the plot.
And he goes through perhaps the longest training session in any film ever, which is fine. I know he's got to learn a lot of shit. But 90% of what he does in this movie is train in this studio apartment with a horrifically racist depiction of a Korean master.
And that could have been a montage, man.
Exactly. And it would have been better. But we're going to get there because this movie stars Fred Rocco Ward as the titular hero. You've got Joel Lemuel Idzik Gray as Chune. Yes, he was on Oz. Big old yikes there. You've got Wilford Blue Steel, Cat Couldn't Scratch It Brimley as Harold Smith.
With the mustache, unlike The Thing, this is mustache Wilford Brimley.
Which is much less unsettling. And you've got Patrick the Sandman Kilpatrick, yes, the guy from Death Warrant with Van Damme, as Stone. I didn't even know he had a name because the bad guys are so blah and whatever. I don't even know what their plot was, except to sell guns that were defective. You've got many other people in this movie, but one of them is Michael Pataki, Drago's trainer from Rocky IV, which I was super excited about.
you were more excited about the trainer than Captain Janeway. Where is Captain Cash? We really need him on this one. That's the only exciting thing about this is that Mulgrew's in this.
Yeah. Well, I love Drago's trainer. He yells at Paulie. Come on. It's classic stuff.
Everybody in the Rocky series yells at Paulie. Literally every character yells at Paulie at some point.
I mean, yeah, Paulie's sort of an unrepentant drunk and not really employable, but we've talked about that on the Rocky Five pod. So Remo Williams, you know,
I take offense to that.
I said he was it's based on a popular series of pulp novels called The Destroyer. It was a substantial flop at the theaters on a budget of $40 million. That's $40 million in 1985. It grossed just 14 $20.4
million. I mean, I have to assume that $20 million of that was to be allowed to shoot at the Statue of Liberty while it was covered in...
They rebuilt scaffolding. The majority of that. So, yeah, they shot some of that stuff, but they also rebuilt the top portion.
And you're not going to have them running around the real one. Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, the Ghostbusters, they really drove the Statue of Liberty. That's a fact. With a Nintendo joystick. You can't tell me it's not true. I won't believe you if you do.
How else do you drive it?
Yeah, your love's lifting me higher.
It's the first zero-turn mower.
Slime and a joystick. Come on.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
People are trying to look up her skirt, according to Peter Venkman. So this movie somehow has a 41% with critics, which I don't get it. Users gave it a 59.
This has a cult status, right? I mean, people, like, it's so bad that people enjoy it, but I did not. I didn't get it.
So we're going to talk about that later, too, because there has been rumors that they tried to get this back off the ground a couple of times, and we'll discuss whether we think this source material warrants another go. But first, let's get to our one-sentence descriptions. Blank, how would you describe Remo Williams in one sentence?
I just wish that Bill would kill Remo because this movie's awful.
Okay. Chumzilla.
The other guy from Tremors does a movie.
Okay. I would just say that The Matrix and Kill Bill Volume 2 ran because Remo Williams walked before.
I mean... Standing on the shoulders of just tiny people.
You're standing
the smallest people imaginable.
You're standing on the shoulders of the man who's beneath the quicksand.
You're right on top of Gary Oldman and Tiptoes.
Stay afloat.
If it weren't for the Lilliputian effort that is Remo Williams, then Kill Bill never could have gotten there.
If it wasn't for the fake little people sitting inside of couches. This movie
Remo's on his hands and knees in that couch so Gary Oldman can appear uncomfortable with his fake legs.
Man,
that's a sentence. Maybe perhaps the first time in human history those words have been put together order.
You know, the first time somebody dodged a bullet by essentially just doing a dance from YouTube.
So I desperately wanted to send you guys, I couldn't find it, but I wanted to find the pictures or a gif of Michael Scott doing the Michael Scarn, like dodging bullets behind the desk. Like, cause that's how ridiculous it was. It was laughably bad. But what does IMDb say about Remo?
So IMDb calls this an officially dead cop. Is trained to become an extraordinary, unique assassin in service to the U.S. president. That's the movie, guys. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail here on the plot, which is a wisecracking Brooklyn cop, Sam Macon, is recruited to the shadowy government agency CURE.
Recruited?
They try and kill him. So
they kidnap him. They change his face. They force him to do it. And they tell him, if you don't become a secret agent for us now, that you have no choice, we'll kill you. That's not being recruited. That's being blackmailed.
Can we talk about the facial reconstruction thing? Because
they just got rid of his mustache?
They shaved.
They shaved his mustache off? And he's like, well, I don't recognize my face. I'm like, dude, you're the same.
They also sort of like, they put him in like a bulkier jacket, which is, again, like... Yeah. I guess it's a face-off scenario there, but
and the first scene is very dark. You never actually see his face anyway, so it's fine. But
you have plenty of interior shots inside the cruiser. You see him with the mustache.
So dumb.
Now, for the record, what about that encounter with the three street punks suggests that this is your guy?
He almost gets rolled.
Dude, he went full on Hager from that that game I like.
Final fight.
Yeah.
He did use some excessive force, which
I mean, they were killing him. He did a good job.
When McCleary basically drives his car into the river or whatever,
the reservoir.
The lighting is not great, and when you look back, you swear it's the lead singer of the guy that sings the Humpty Dance. come to kill him with the fake plastic nose.
The Velvet Underground is not the Cure agency. Although, fun fact,
it's the Digital Underground.
Thank you. Sorry, not Velvet Underground. Digital Underground.
That is Humpty Hump, and you can definitely see the wires on that car as it goes over.
Oh, there's plenty of wires here. Plenty of wires to be seen throughout this movie.
And do we remember?
It's like, oh, and there's the wire on the car. Oh,
and I'm sorry, just a quick aside. Speaking of Digital Underground, we do remember what movie that they were actually
Nothing
in,
but
right?
Trouble.
Yeah. And we
get your
see
hot dogs,
it,
folks. Come on, get your dogs, folks.
Tupac as a background, yes, as a background rapper, yes, in that scene. Yes, it's so good. Yes, it's so good. Yes.
If you don't anyway, think we're gonna do that for Hops and litigious flops, you're crazy.
Ooh, it's finally gonna be Lawyer Blake's time. I can't
do the Humpty Hump.
Yeah, that's right. So after he is presumed dead, he wakes up in a hospital. He has been recruited and he's going to be trained to become an elite assassin. He is going to be
he has a special set of skills.
This is going to be done by a white actor dressed as a Korean man. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very clearly a. At least they didn't give him, like, for lack of a better
it's
term,
bad.
Yellow face makeup. Like,
and why is he being recruited by Jackie Chiles?
I have no idea. It's so bizarre.
Preposterous,
so Chun, he only offers vaguely racist platitudes and watches soap operas. That's...
And boy, does he really bite into those L's and R's in his racist.
It's bad, man. Asian it's accent, just so yeah. bad. So he's going to learn the art of Sinanju from Chun. So there's a lot of culturally insensitive dialogue and training. Remo then, by the way, he's named after a bedpan now. He runs afoul with the men of George Grobe, because a weapons manufacturer. Shit.
Whoa! You're way underselling that. The movie goes out of its way to show you that he is named after the bedpan.
Yes, yeah, because
from
that's how much
Remo,
thought Cure.
Arkansas.
That's how much thought Cure puts into this stuff. By the way, this is an organization of four people.
It's like the opposite. It's like the literal opposite of The Usual Suspects.
So there's four people, including the Korean guy. They share a one-room office building somewhere in New York. And as far as I can tell, their entire operation consists of a single solitary apartment with some chicken wire that may or may not contain a chicken.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's like low-rent Archer.
So Harold Smith... who's the head of Cure, I suppose, literally just watches C-SPAN all day looking for people he dislikes so that he can kill them.
I mean, pretty much. He's got his cool person of interest computer. You know, he's like prototype Jim Caviezel. That's really what Remo Williams
God. Is. So he's talking about people drinking spinal fluid.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, maybe that should be my one sentence description. Like, person of interest is less interesting because Jim Caviezel isn't in it.
Yeah. So this George Grobe character is manufacturing faulty weapons for the U.S. government. He's also doing other things that aren't exactly clear, but Harold Smith has been tracking him. And now, because he knows who Remo is, this could blow up the entire operation, which means he would have to kill McCleary at a haberdashery because McCleary likes hats. He would then take a cyanide pill and Chun would kill Remo. What would become of Chun is anybody's guess.
He would do the honorable thing and teach the next assassin Xianju. He's the last master of Xianju.
So they've got to kill Grobe, but Grobe is at an army base, basically I guess securing this purchase for his weapons
and fortified, apparently. Yeah.
When you kill Grobe, it has to look like an accident because everything Cure does looks like an accident.
You need all the mirrors to focus. Wait, no, wrong movie. Sorry.
Yeah. That was the last one, dude.
Remo goes there. There's some woman that's in the movie for no other reason than to make dreamy eyes at Fred Ward. And he winds up getting attached to a log that's being transported.
Yeah, that's not some woman.
And aren't we all making dreamy eyes at Fred Ward?
Well, that's damn. A fact. He, yeah,
he's a handsome man. Okay, sorry.
Continue. I'm talking about sex.
Continue.
Fact that the seismologist in Tremors wanted Bacon over Ward is bullshit.
Facts.
Just now, stop now, disparaging Kevin Kate Mulgrew by calling her some woman. That is Captain Janeway.
She has nothing to do here. I no, get she's, that she's in Star Trek.
She has nerds. And Orange is the New Black, in fact. She's fantastic in that, by the way. But so, yeah, nothing to do. Why? Why so is this happening?
Remo, who's comically bad at his job, drops a log which destroys this army jeep that has been pursuing him and shooting at him.
Is that a metaphoric log? Like, was it an actual poop or a literal log?
Yeah. Grove survives only so Remo can dodge a bunch of his bullets and then do a pretty boss move, which is walk away from a fucking explosion.
Everybody can walk away from an explosion.
Yeah. And then for some reason, Chun, who's probably got dementia, is wandering around the woods looking for Remo. And then you get the classic scene where he runs across the water, which is why I think I remember loving this movie.
Float.
Yeah. Because Remo also runs across some concrete. So
mm-hmm. Wet. Not, listener, it's wet concrete. It's not like we've all run on concrete. That's not crazy. It's wet.
It's wet concrete. It's also super goddamn deep.
Well, but he can float.
Well, that one guy falls in. It's like 6 feet deep. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, quicksand concrete. I don't know. What are you, a contractor? What do you know?
Anyways, that's the movie. It ends. There were supposed to be sequels.
Jackie Childs got shot in the back.
Well, yes. Yeah, McCleary does die. He also has a fake arm, which helps Remo escape when the dogs, which is probably my favorite scene in the movie, but we'll talk about that more.
That is the only good scene in the movie. It's kind of
where these dogs keep pursuing him, but... let's get to our beer rankings, because literally, I mean, like, I can't explain what the bad guy wanted to do. I can't explain why it took an hour and a half for Remo Williams to be activated. I can't explain anything. This movie
could barely get past that cop fight in the first 5 minutes. That was brutal.
For the guy who directed so many Bond movies, it's maybe it's a writing thing. I haven't read any of these books. This plot, this entire story structure is shockingly juvenile and it's just not good. So I don't know how these became popular in the first place. So I apologize if you like them, but
I mean, 59% user rating on this movie. Like, there's not like the best legit action scene is three idiot construction workers really almost getting the best of our new super spy.
Our new superhero. Yes, three guys who essentially look like the Mario Brothers.
And they got, what, $30 to kill him?
Wasn't I didn't want to ask that. He counts out the bills, and he's like, $30. Because, you know, if it's 20s, you'd be like 20, 40, 60. You do the multiples. No, he gave him 30.
It's not even singles. Denominations of 10. He's paying out in singles.
30 wow. singles so they could go right to the strip club.
He knew where they were going, dude. They were going to the pink pussycat afterwards, after they committed murder.
Spearmint Rhino all the way.
So how many beers, guys? We'll start with Chumpsil. How many beers to make it through Remo Williams?
This is four pain beers because I was baffled the entire time. Four pain.
That's actually a lighter sentence than I was expecting.
I'm shocked. You're way harsher on way better movies. Didn't you give Sahara four pain beers?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
This is stupider, so I give it a handicap.
I mean, I'm with you, essentially. I'm one enjoyment beer, just for nostalgia, whatever little nostalgia I have, and how kind of unintentionally funny this is, and then the four pain beers. This is brutal to get through.
I love Fred Ward. She's like bafflingly charming.
That too. He's Gus Grissom from The Right Stuff. How can you not love Fred Ward?
I love that dude. He's the dad from Sweet Home Alabama. Come on.
I hate that movie.
I do too.
All right. And you also hate this movie, but how many beers do you need to get through it, Blake?
This is 2 hours long. Despite Fred Ward's undeniable charm, there's almost none of it in this movie. This is six pain beers all the way.
Wow.
Wow. Whoa. You did float the idea that this was the shit movie champion. And
we have met Bling Blake's fucking threshold.
I was six beers on Avatar. I was six beers on Rollerball. This is not worse than any of them, but and
it's impressive though. We got you there. You hit the mark.
This movie sucks. Because I have no nostalgia for it. I didn't see it when I was young. I miss it. It's the first time I ever watched it. It's awful. And I was expecting to enjoy some of the campiness and the silly, but the jokes aren't good because it's not supposed to be a funny movie.
And the jokes are all wildly insensitive. It's Chun saying things that so this is your perception of Korean people.
Yeah. I mean, and
also Chun is racist himself, which is quite odd.
I mean, the funniest things are the things that Chun says to Remo during training. Like those are legitimately funny. But man, it took me three separate viewings to get through this because I lost interest and I was like, I'm not paying attention. I turn this off and come back to it later. Like this is a bad movie.
It took me a couple sittings to get through. And in my defense, I think I saw this as a kid. I loved Kung Fu movies when I was a kid. So the fact that it had that element, even though, you know, the actor who played Chun had no training whatsoever. And then you rewatch this movie, you realize he does as little as humanly possible and everything else is really poorly choreographed. So it just doesn't hold up well. It's really disappointing that Guy Hamilton couldn't make this a little bit more lively considering his pedigree. But let's go to our first break. When we come back, we've got some lingering questions about Remo Williams. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to the 236th episode of Hops and Box Office Flops. We are talking Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
And it ends.
And yes, most certainly ends. My first question is, would you watch a Remo Williams TV show? Now, I'm going to give you some background here. There was an 80s TV show that shot a pilot. We'll ask more about that during the quiz. Never made it to air. And then in 2014, Shane Black was hired to revive the property. He started writing on it with his writing partner. Never came to fruition. And then most recently, there's been rumors again that this was going to come back. But I think it's a twofold question. Would we watch it? One. And two, does this character even really work in 2024? I'm no on both accounts. I don't see how you have this character with the Korean trainer who I get it worked for Kill Bill, but
very 80s G.I. Joe sensibilities.
Yeah, it seems like this is so far out of its time now.
I think you could make it work, but I have zero faith
This isn't James Bond, right? James Bond has been able to evolve from decade to decade, from generation to generation. Mission Impossible, 60s TV show, incredible movie series.
The thing with James Bond is he's somewhat generic. He's just a dapper dude.
Bond could be anybody, yeah.
Right. I'm a dapper guy. There's a little more to it, but I just don't see the... I just don't see the desire, the drive, the hunger for this character. Nobody cares about Remo Williams, as far as I can tell.
There is one network.
The CW.
Can pull this off.
The CW. You're going to say CBS.
Yeah. And that is CBS.
Yeah.
Because CBS... if they can give us True Lies, they can give us Remo. You know, honestly, I real talk, I do think this could work as an episodic thing, right? Remo has an adventure every week.
He can team up with Dirk Pitts.
100%.
Oh,
Dierks Pitt could totally be in this.
Right.
But like, I think his buddy? You know, you would definitely have to tailor it to current sensibilities.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
oh.
So I think this is a, like, the problem with this movie is not the character, right? Like, it's not the idea of Remo Williams.
It's the fact that it's so poorly thought out.
Yeah, they just didn't do a good job of giving us a story about this guy. I don't know. I also never read any of this source material. Did they really kidnap him and make
they should have put a zombie plague in it. That would have really tied things together.
Well, it lacks that Cussler weird. Here's the B plot. Somehow Dierks Pitt is going to have to save the entire world
while also hooking up with a sweet, smoking hot marine biologist.
I will say this. Bling Blake texted me personally and said, man, I didn't like this movie, but I'd really like CBS to do this show. And I've got the perfect chat name for it. And it's Sit on My Remo Williams.
I believe I said Sit and Spin on My Remo Williams.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. I'm jealous.
So number two, favorite scene of the movie. Because I said I love the Dobermans kind of chasing him through the Grove factory. But I thought the log shit was pretty cool. I thought that was well done. Like, obviously, they spent a lot of money to crash that car. I thought it looked good. The army base thing is mostly hit or miss otherwise. But, you know, dropping a giant log into a pile of logs and crushing a Jeep, you know, plus you get, you know, their Jeep gets crushed and then you get Chun is just sitting in it unharmed.
Totally fine.
Nothing tops the... I don't recognize myself because my mustache has been shaved scene for me. That's this movie in a nutshell right there.
I mean, that's really bad. But I also think the Statue of Liberty scene is pretty cool. There's some great wide shots of him hanging. Like, and it looks like, hey, this is practical.
They're trying. It's an action scene. I get it.
And that's where I was going to go. I did like the Statue of Liberty scene. It was ridiculous in concept. But like, they did some cool stuff with it.
Hey, you know, better than No Way Home.
Yeah, right. And he was on and off the statue and on the scaffolding.
No,
you know, it was fine.
Dude, he was bringing it. He only had one Remo. It took three Spider-Men to fend off those Jokers. Mm-hmm.
Those were Spider-Man and fine.
I will say, like, I love the training scene where he's in the kitchen and he's kind of like doing the what you would like American Ninja Warrior style shit. And then you see the wires, and it's like, fuck, that ruined the scene.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and there was the gag where, you know, turn off the lights, like, got to go back down.
Yeah.
And he immediately falls, and you're like, yeah, I saw that coming. And again, if this was really a comedy, I would have laughed at that point.
It would have worked.
Like, but I was like, they're trying to make a real action movie with, like, this moment of levity, and it's... I don't know. Everything was just so forced.
This character, as he's conceived, works far better as not as far in the satirical space as Austin Powers, but somewhere in that realm. Because the concept is so stupid.
I get 100%. If this was Austin Powers-y, I think it works. But that's why I asked you, is this a comedy? Like, am I supposed to be finding this funny? Because at least then I can get in the right headspace.
Well, I think it was supposed to be like those 70s Bond movies where, because the 80s Bond movies got super serious. That was the Dalton era. But it was supposed to be like a Roger Moore Bond movie. Yeah. But it doesn't work because
I don't know.
His character is not interesting.
I do think this movie is playing it straight.
Yes.
I don't think the humor is intentional.
I think a lot of what Chun says is supposed to be funny, but that brings me to my third question. Is this the most racist bit of casting we've had on the pod? I would say unequivocally. And the way the character's written is, it just does not work now.
Now, after Sahara, You're calling this the most racist thing we've done?
Absolutely. That's, come on.
Sahara has some
it's super racist.
Yeah, but it also has the freedom fighters that are there that are fighting against this corrupt government. So it's not like they're depicting all African people like bad.
They're corrupt, they're inept. It's,
have you been to Africa, Chubby? It's corrupt as fuck.
There's a fair bit of government corruption, but I do not think that movie's as racist.
Have you been to the U.S.?
Idi Amin? It's not racist when you're actually saying, hey, there's a bunch of countries on this continent that are...
But all the bad guys were exclusively...
That's not true.
In Africa!
The French guy was also bad.
The French guy was also bad.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The Nazi was a white guy. Yeah.
Arguably worse.
You got me there. Yeah.
But this is... The question, Trumpy, is not, is this the most racist movie we've done? Is this the most racist casting that we have seen?
I mean, because, what we would compare it to is fair, like Jake Gyllenhaal as the Prince of Persia, which is like, that's bad, but he's also not like offering weird...
Avatar, after all the Avatar, just all the
Avatar was also
fine.
Bad.
We're fine. Yeah. We're fine. Avatar covers it. That's the worst.
Okay. I'm right? fully on is board it, with saying Avatar.
That's the worst.
Yellow thing.
Well, yeah. Sure.
So here's my favorite question, because it's really going to piss Trumpzilla off. But was the elevator fight at the Statue of Liberty better than the elevator fight in the Winter Soldier? And I'm saying yes, because it was a real elevator. It was all practical. And Remo fucking Williams, dude, climbing around, doing his shit. He would beat Captain America's ass.
He left. Trumpzilla left. You made him so mad he quit. Listener, just to keep you updated here. The Thunderous Wizard just made Trumpzilla so angry with his assessment of the elevator fight that he has left the podcast.
He knows. He can't argue it. He knows that Remo Williams would kick Captain America's ass.
That's a ridiculous sentence. What is true is that Remo Williams could make Captain America cream in his tights just by tapping on his wrist to the beat of his heart.
So, that's true. He's from Jersey. He fights crime in his jeans.
the best part, I love it so much when... like Remo keeps coming. This part was legitimately funny. How he keeps coming back, like, "What's lesson 36? What's lesson 36?" He wants so bad to learn the steps to make a woman reach climax.
It's kind of like, "Hey, buddy, what's like, going on here?"
You're too old to have never made a woman orgasm, Remo. And if you can't do that, can you really kill a general?
Also, you don't cast Fred Ward if you expect me to believe he's never made a woman orgasm.
He just walks into the room and then three girls hit their knees.
So, Chumpy, now that you've recovered, I'm not over this. Elevator fight.
Fuck no.
Oh, I knew that would get you.
No, that's why I had to leave. That was unacceptable.
I will say, I mean, it's got the better Statue of Liberty fight, which also contains the elevator fight. This movie is just beating the MCU's ass in terms of awesome action scenes.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
this
sure,
might be
sure.
The first episode we have to make a video of.
Just so we can show Chumpzilla's exit.
Oh my God. He's so upset.
Blasphemy. That just... What?
I wrote that question specifically for you.
I know. And it's... It's gross. It's okay. Gross. Fine.
So we're going to take our second break. When we come back, we've got the Blue Collar James Bond Trivia Challenge.
Oh, God.
Hello, and welcome back to our 236th episode of Hops and Box Office Slops. We're talking Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins, and we are on the Blue Collar James Bond Trivia Challenge. Gentlemen, we have the standard 5-question multiple choice format quiz. And you will be playing for the Tiffany tooth. Also a great scene when he uses the diamond tooth to break the glass. Your chime-ins are, you move like a pregnant yak, or Sinaju is the sun, or, and this is particularly bad, you sawed off little runt, or in out like a duck mating. And of course, you can use any of the pod standards.
And by the way,
you're in out like a duck mating?
Yeah, that was what he told him when he was going to go kill Chien.
Yeah.
And now, hold on.
But remember, don't ducks famously have corkscrew penises so they can't be in and out?
And they will gang rape a female to death. Duck sex is extremely violent.
Okay.
You don't have to say
we covered this. We covered this on the Howard the Duck podcast. It was that episode was very troubling.
It was dark for multiple reasons. Yeah. I will say this.
Duck sex is fucked up. It is.
Chumpy, take it easy, buddy.
Sorry.
It's very clear, based upon the writers of this novel's perception of how the government works, how
duck wieners,
shadowy government agencies work, how martial arts work, that they don't do a particular high amount of research. So I wouldn't take their duck analogy very seriously.
Fair enough.
We are on to number one. Are you ready?
Duck penis.
All right.
Corkscrews.
In 1988, a pilot for a Remo Williams TV show was shot. It never made it to air, as I said. Chun, in that pilot, was played by a white actor as well. Who was it? Was it A, Roddy McDowall? Was it B, David Carradine? Was it C, Peter Sellers? Or was it D, Anthony Quinn?
C, Peter Sellers.
You didn't chime in, but that is incorrect anyways. Bling Blake, care to steal?
Carradine seems like a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
A was Roddy McDowall, and D was...
Anthony Quinn.
Anthony
Quinn. From the great Last Action Hero.
Sionju is the son.
Okay, what do you got for us?
I'm taking Anthony Quinn.
It was Roddy McDowall.
Damn it!
Wow.
Okay, we're at zeros. Here's number two. The title song for the film, Remo's theme, What If, which is playing when he's driving the car and it kind of fades off. And it's also not on the official soundtrack for the movie, but it was written by this popular musician. Is it A, Peter Cetera of Chicago? Is it B, Robert Smith of The Cure? Is it C, Tommy Shaw of Styx? Or is it D, Jackson Browne?
I'm going to shoot.
Bling Blake.
Tommy Shaw, Styx.
It's Tommy Shaw of Styx.
Yes!
And you can go listen to that song on YouTube. It's great.
Wow.
Might as well leave a message.
Did you know that, Bling Blake? Was that like in your brain?
No, I didn't know that. That was just a Styx song for sure. Like you could hear it when it was playing.
It's definitely got a Styx to it. I mean, like, I wouldn't blame you if you said Peter Cetera based on his song from The Karate Kid 2, but
yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. So number three, it's 1-0 Bling Blake. At the 58th annual Academy Awards in 1986, Remo Williams was nominated for Best Makeup, but it lost to this movie. Is it A, The Color Purple? Is it B, The Mask? Is it C, Lady Hawk? Or is it D, Silverado?
I'm going to shoot.
Bling Blake.
It's not The Mask. It's Mask.
Yeah, it's Mask. Oh, Rocky, there are limits.
I was correct. Yeah. I was correct.
So it is 2-0.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cher.
I mean,
Herb Stoltz. By the way, these Sam were
Elliott.
All...
Sam Elliott?
There was only three... there was only three nominated. I forget which was the third. I know it was The Mask and this. But these were all 1986 Oscar nominees in some category. And Silverado fucking rules, as does Lady Hawk.
Mask is... I remember watching that as a kid. Like it's not my jam. Yeah.
That one I found at the Walmart in Oxford, Ohio. And I'm like, I need that shit.
But I have watched that movie from start to finish.
Now, granted, if he was doing like a martial arts pose on the cover, I would have bought it. Because apparently that's all it takes for me to buy a film.
Now,
Elliott is all it takes for you to buy a film.
When you say also Eric Stoltz, you're referring to Marty McFly.
That's true. Yeah. The Marty McFly.
The Marty McFly.
All right. So Chumzilla, you got to get these next two to tie. Number four, the Destroyer book series has been written by several authors.
Oh, shit.
Which of these was not one of them? Is it A, Warren Murphy? Is it B, Richard Sapir? Is it C, Will Murray? Is it D, Jim Mulaney? Or is it E, John D. McDonald?
Chumzilla.
Farts and Tarts, D.
Really? Okay, I was going to go early to give you at least a reduction.
It was not Jim Mulaney.
Fine, whatever.
Bling Blake for the steal.
B?
It is not Richard Sapir. Actually, Murphy and Sapir co-wrote most of the initial series. It was John D. McDonald.
Sorry, now, dude. Any of those people were, as you were saying them.
There are a lot of these books, and that's what question five is about. So this is for pride. You won't get that Tiffany tooth, but that's okay. The Destroyer series was first published in 1971. Since then, how many entries have there been? Is it A, more than 130? Is it B, more than 140? Is it C, more than 150? Or is it D, more than 160?
Now, wait a minute. Based on the way this question is framed, like, it's more than
Have to get it. You have to get it.
So Price is Right rules.
It's Price is Right. Yeah.
Rule. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go first, Chumzilla.
Yeah, go nuts.
You know, normally on these questions, we always err on the side of extreme, right? So you always go for the highest. But I think that the Thunderous Wizard here is onto us, Chumpy. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go in the middle here. I'm going to say more than 140.
Incorrect. Chumpy, there are.
There are more than 140. All right, buddy. So
I'm giving you a 50-50 chance.
You got it. Come on, kid. Get one.
So what's left?
50 or 60.
150 or 160?
160. Boom.
Oh, my God. It's 150, you jackass.
You had to guess in the middle. I told you he was messing with us. I told you he was messing with us.
But I'm sorry, man. This is too much pressure.
So four of those authors I listed have written parts of this series.
Mm.
If you care to look that up, it'll tell you which parts of the series they wrote. I don't care enough to have written it, so it's not here for you.
Fair enough.
So, Bling Blake, good news. You got a Tiffany tooth, but if you mess with me, I will use that tooth to jump through your window after I carve an X in it with your face.
Bring it. That seems aggressive.
Bring it, homie.
I know how to get you.
You don't want to get shit.
Bullshit, I don't. Sinanju is the sun.
Sexy and aggressive.
I got a diamond.
You do you, T Dubs. You do you.
And by the way, that's how lazy. Like, I'm sorry. If you really like this series, I'm really sorry. But like, that's how lazy the writing of this is. That the bad guy, it's not like Jaws who's chewing through fucking, you know, razor wire. It's a dude with a diamond in his tooth.
Well,
that's all it is. Like, just one diamond on his tooth.
Come on. You know, like the man with the golden gun. That's fucking cool. It's this dude that has a gun that's insanely awesome. It's just a dude with a tooth with no personality.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to our recommendations. We'll start with Bling Blake. What do you have for us this week?
Man, it's been a real short week for me. Haven't consumed a lot of media. That said, Mrs. Bling has really been enjoying Palm Royale, which you can find on, I think it's Apple TV Plus.
It's on Apple. We started it. We kind of lost interest. Yeah. Great cast.
It makes me a little uncomfortable, but Mrs. Bling loves it. Nice. Unfortunately, I've just been very busy with work, so I haven't been able to do a whole bunch. So
it's more,
I'm going to say check out Palm Royale because the cast is phenomenal. I know
it's
that.
It's a great cast, but it's more awkward than it is funny.
It's not supposed to be funny. It's a drama. And
it also doesn't feel like it's going anywhere.
it makes me uncomfortable. That's why I'm hesitant to recommend it. But again,
but I mean, it's got an incredible cast,
and people that love it love it. Like I said, it made me uncomfortable because of the whole, I have social anxiety and the whole thing is like,
yes,
socially anxious. It seems like it's really well made, great cast, well written, and people do seem to love it. So if you have Apple TV Plus, maybe give it a try.
Going nuts.
All right. Jumpzilla, what do you got?
Hey, I bought a PlayStation 5 in the last couple of weeks just so I could play Helldivers 2. And yeah, the game's got some hype. It's got a little whatever behind it. But hey, man, if you like Starship Troopers, this is the game for you. It's a fun third-person shooter with some, like, you know, it's a co-op type game. I'm having a blast with it. I know they got some bad publicity over the last couple of weeks because they're like their PlayStation Steam crossover whatever, but like, hey, I'm enjoying it. It's still fun. It's a nice switch up from the old Fortnite. So yeah, Helldivers 2. Check it out. Maybe. I don't know. Have fun with it. Your mileage may vary.
So I have a couple, and I forgot one last week, but I had a bunch last week. So what does it matter? So my recommendation is Leroy, Texas, which is a very Coen Brothers-esque crime movie revolving around a sheepish manager of a hardware store who gets mistaken for a hitman and that gets dragged into all this intrigue.
What's our that boy, on?
Yeah, you have to rent it for $6.99. Okay. I just heard about it. It had great reviews. It was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
I like the cast. And Steve Zahn's in it as a fledgling PI. And you get the original Doc Connors, Dylan Baker, who's the actual hitman. Okay. And it's a nice little small movie. It reminded me of like more like Burn After Reading Coen's. Funny, sort of like oddball characters. I really enjoyed it. So rent that if you're interested. I also bought Monkey Man, and I forgot to recommend that last week, but it's great. It's the Dev Patel directed and starring film. It's an action movie, sort of like, I wouldn't compare it to John Wick, but it has a little bit of that visual vibe.
In the John Wick vein.
Yeah, but he takes on the corrupt overlords of India, and he's sort of channeling this mythical Indian spirit, the Monkey Man. And some of the fight scenes aren't that great, and some of the camera work is a bit, I think, way too chaotic. But it's good. It's well acted.
That can't be a stylistic choice.
Yeah, and there are a couple of scenes that are framed just exceptionally. So if you haven't seen it, I would totally recommend that. And I did finish chapter 2 of Rebel Moon, and I fucking loved it. So I thought it was awesome. I thought it was exactly what I wanted it to be. And then I watched the making of Rebel Moon, also on Netflix. Yeah. And super cool how much work they put into build that universe and how much practical shit they did. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited for the rated R cuts now.
Yeah, newsflash listener, the Thunderous Wizard enjoyed a Zack Snyder film. But you didn't see that coming.
Dude, I'm telling you, Rebel Moon part 2 was friggin' legit. It was super cool.
Homie gets you. That's fine. He gets you, and that's fine. Good. I'm glad you love him.
He still doesn't get Superman.
I'm gonna watch it tomorrow, and I'm gonna love it too.
So next week, I'll probably recommend the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I bought because it came out. So I'm excited to watch that.
Is it still in theaters though? Can I go see that this week?
Yeah, it's still in theaters, and you can see it there. And I'm also gonna see the new Planet of the Apes. So
yeah,
hopefully I've heard good things. But remember, you can find the show on Facebook, Threads, Twitter, and Instagram at Hops and BoFlops. You can find myself on Twitter at WriterTLK. Captain Cash can be found in social media jail after dressing like a Korean man on most social media at CAPTCASH. And Chumpzilla can be found at Chumpzilla8 on Twitter. McCheese, oof, he fell off the Statue of Liberty fighting Remo Williams.
We still love him.
Good news is he landed in the wet concrete. He might still be there.
Yeah.
So
he's a concrete guy. He'll test it. It'll be fine.
Then you got Bling Blake on Twitter at Bling Blake or on Threads at HBOF Bling Blake. If you enjoy the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and be sure to like, share, and subscribe. And connect with us on social media to share ideas for future episodes. In the end, listeners, remember one thing. The trained mind does not need a watch. Watches are a confidence trick invented by the Swiss. We'll see you next week for the third entry in our adventurous flop series, Waterworld. Dry land is not a myth. No. I've seen it.
Oh, no. I love you, Kevin Costner.
Got gills, dude.
Sexy gills.
Super sexy gills.